Thank you very much, Pastor Fiani. Bless the Lord, church. We are so glad to be together again in the presence of a holy God. We are so thankful for all of you who are here. To God be the glory, and we trust that you will continue to enjoy the presence of the Lord because he is worthy. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Today is Palm Sunday, as Pastor Fiani keep emphasizing. And I trust that all of us are showing the reverence to the Lord that he deserves at this time. Palm Sunday is so important when you think of the history and what was accomplished on this particular day 2,000 years ago. And so in a little while, we will be looking at a few scriptures, and I trust that you have your Bibles with you, and we together are going to look on the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord. I would like to give the thought that we're going to share today a topic. And the topic is a mission to defeat death.
Amen.
That's the topic for today. A mission to defeat death. As we read from that passage that Sister Henry so beautifully emphasized to us today. A mission to defeat death. Now let me say to all of us that this is the final entry for Jesus into Jerusalem. He has gone that way before, but today, Palm Sunday, 2,000 years ago, was his final entry into Jerusalem. And we were told that by Zechariah, and we were told that also by Jesus himself. I will read the two scriptures that point to that particular event. From Zechariah first, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Listen to what, that this is over 500 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Zechariah saw this day pass before his eyes, and he prophesied accordingly. Listen to what he said here. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lonely and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the fowler of an ass. Zechariah prophesied over 500 years before this event took place, and he saw that particular day pass before his eyes. Jesus was now fulfilling prophecy. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in regards to this day also before it came. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, listen to what the Lord Jesus said. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. That is what Jesus said to his disciples after Peter identified him as the Son of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Listen to this, church. Two different scriptures prophesy to this particular day. And the day has finally come when Jesus would ride into Jerusalem for the final time to fulfill both prophecy concerning himself. So when we talk about Palm Sunday, we are talking about a day in which Jesus fulfilled prophecy by riding into Jerusalem, knowing his mission. In that crowd, one person knew the purpose for which he was going into Jerusalem, and that is Jesus. As much as he mentioned it before to the disciples were involved in the march into Jerusalem, but they did not understand the depth of what was taking place. Jesus alone knew what was taking place, that he was riding into Jerusalem for the final time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's dive a little bit more into this. And so, the topic is a mission to defeat death. Romans chapter 5:17 tells us that death reigns. Death reigns. Death had control over humanity for many years. And this monster, it has a kingdom. It has a scepter.
Yeah.
And that scepter is stretched out to every man. Every man must face death. Every man must face death. Death is a kingdom by itself. And Jesus on this mission, he has set out to destroy that kingdom. Hallelujah. And only he alone knew the mission that he was on as he rode into Jerusalem. And it is interesting here that the crowd that was there, the Bible describes it this way, there was a multitude before him, and there was also a multitude behind him. There was no hierarchy from Jerusalem. Who was prepared?
Yeah, that one.
There seems to be some noise in the background from somebody's phone.
Again.
There was no hierarchy in Jerusalem who was prepared to come and meet the king as he rode into Jerusalem. The crowd that was there was the peasant around the different villages that came to witness this triumphant entry. Because of Jesus' fame, he went about doing good. He healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases. He even raised the dead. Jesus' fame spread far and wide. And it was told that he was riding into Jerusalem. And the people who were beneficiary of his presence, they came out in droves to witness the king riding into Jerusalem. There was nobody in Jerusalem who was prepared to give him the key of the city. He was not considered to be that important from the hierarchy in Jerusalem. Instead, they were there plotting to kill him. But Jesus rode into Jerusalem triumphantly, knowing his mission, knowing what is ahead of him. He told his disciples that he is going to go into Jerusalem and he must suffer. Look at those choice words in Matthew chapter 16 as he declared that to his disciples. I I'm going to suffer in Jerusalem. And then he went on to say, I am going to be killed in Jerusalem. This mission that Jesus was on is a mission to defeat death.
Praise his name.
The Bible tells us that he set his face towards Jerusalem. He squared his shoulders. Hallelujah. And he was determined to face whatever comes in Jerusalem. Because he knew his mission. He knew that this is the reason why he came. And the multitude shout, Hosanna. Save us. They know something about him. He is the king. He has the ability to change things. And they're crying out for change. Like, oh, today many people are crying out for change. Some of them not even know what type of change they want. But there was a cry to save us in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus' mission was to save those that were lost. And they cry, save us.
Amen.
But a question was asked. A question was asked according to the reading. And the question is, who is this? Who is this getting so much attention as he rode into Jerusalem? Who is this? We have never seen this before. And the multitude cried and answered, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. But brothers and sisters, let us delve a little deeper into all of this. As they ask the question, who is this? And the answer came, Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. A very good answer and a true answer. But let us see how John describe this man riding into Jerusalem. John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 declare, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is who he was. That is who was riding into Jerusalem. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And on this particular Sunday, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, it was not just a riding into Jerusalem empty. It was a riding with purpose. It was an entry into Jerusalem with purpose. Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to be examined. To be examined as the Lamb of God. Let's take a look here in Exodus. Let's look on something in Exodus here. Exodus chapter 12, I read from verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That is Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 3 to verse 6. Why did I read that portion of scripture? Why did I read that portion of scripture? Because it is important. Jesus is not just riding into Jerusalem without the background of what was already established. What was established? The lamb that is going to be used for sacrifice, whether it is sin sacrifice or any other sacrifice, as long as a lamb is going to be offered up as a sacrifice, that lamb must be in the possession of the authorities 4 days before it was killed. 4 days before it was killed. Why was it to be in possession of the authorities 4 days before it was killed? Because it was not supposed to have any spot or blemish about it. Therefore, it was supposed to be examined over these 4 days. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to be examined as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In Exodus, it said the Lamb should be there from the 10th day of the month until it is killed on the 14th day. Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the Sunday. He was there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and be killed on Friday. All of these days, meaning Jesus would undergo examination. Because he must be spotless to be used as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice, church, notice this. It is the Lamb that is examined, not the beneficiary of the spotless lamb. You and I, God is not examining you, and God is not examining me. God is examining Jesus to make sure that he's worthy to die for your sin and mine. It is already established that we have sinned and we have messed up. Hallelujah. But God is not looking to us. God is looking to the Lamb to see if the Lamb was worthy to die for your sin and mine. And what is the ultimate, what is the ultimate purpose of all of this? That God, that we might be come holy as the Lamb. Because he had no sin, Because he is spotless, he is in a position to make us like him. So therefore, God does not judge us or examine us because we are sinners. God examines the sacrifice that is going to be offered up on our behalf. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we find here that Jesus was examined by the high priest. Matthew 26:60. And they found no fault with him. Jesus was examined by Pilate. Luke 23:4. And he found no fault with Jesus. Jesus was examined by Herod. Luke 23:11. And Herod found no fault in him. Herod sent him back to Pilate. And Jesus was examined by Pilate the second time. Luke 23:14. And found no fault in Jesus. No fault in the Lamb. Hallelujah. That man who rode into Jerusalem and he declared to his disciples that he is going to suffer and be killed, went through the different phases of examination and they found no fault in the sacrifice. And I want to tell you something, the examination of the lamb was rigorous. They put flashlight into the ear to find out if there was any lump or any such thing in there. They would pull back the skin of the teeth and to examine the teeth to find out if there was any decay in the lamb. They opened its mouth to look inside there to make sure that there was nothing visible, any scar of any sort. They pulled back the look on the hoof to find out if there was any bruise or any such thing. They pulled their fingers through the skin and pulled back the fur to see if there was any blemish of any sort. They would keep the lamb there to observe the stool of the lamb to see if there was any unusual thing coming from inside of the lamb. The lamb must be spotless. So was the examination of Jesus for his 40. And they found no fault in him. But there was really no fault to be found in Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:30. The prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. That's what Jesus said. He said that the devil, the enemy, cannot find any spot or wrinkle or anything to accuse me with. I have no sin, Jesus declared. So they could examine from now till next week. They would not have found anything wrong with Jesus. Who is this? John said, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I want to tell you, church, this was a touching day in the life of Jesus. This was an outstanding day in the life of the multitude. Because it is a day that represents death in Jerusalem, as Jesus foretold his disciples. The mission is to defeat the monster called death in Jerusalem. And Jesus knew that. But there are three quick points here that I would like to make before we close off today. And the first point is, as he rode into Jerusalem, one of the things that was in Jesus' mind is to overcome shame. As he worked towards the pursuit of defeating death, shame must be overcome. Shame must be overcome. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says here. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Very important here. Very important. I read this section again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, I would like to say to all of us here that Jesus knew. He knew very well what shame is. Jesus understood very well what shame is. Listen to what he himself said to his followers. That is Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. Listen to what Jesus said. He understood what shame is. Luke 9 verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into his glory and his Father's and of the holy angel. I read it again. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. The Lord understand that shame can block your salvation. Shame can cause you to lose your salvation. Shame can prevent you from inherit your salvation. It is possible that you could be ashamed of the Lord to open your Bible in the public. Many Christians, many people are ashamed to open their Bible in the public because that Bible represents a connection to the Lord Jesus. Many people are ashamed to give a testimony in the public. Many people are ashamed to witness to their boss about Jesus. Many people are ashamed to open their mouths in their workplaces about their connection to Jesus. And Jesus knew that, that shame can be used as a weapon. Shame can be used as a weapon, and it can block the salvation that you have. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed, if you're ashamed of me, I am going to be ashamed to own you before my Father. And so he knew very well what shame is. And the enemy is trying to use shame as a weapon against him. When they spat upon Jesus, the Son of God, is to shame him. When they boxed Jesus as the Son of God, it was to shame him. When they tore off his garments and leave him exposed, it was to shame the Son of God. When they spat upon his face, when they whipped him as the Son of God, it was a shame that this happened to the Son of God. And Jesus endured it. Jesus endured the shame because there's a joy. There was a joy that is set before him. As he go into Jerusalem to be examined as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, one of the weapons that the enemy uses against him was a weapon of shame. He had to overcome that weapon. He had to overcome the weapon of shame in order to fulfill his mission. Hallelujah, praise God, he did. He looked on shame and said, shame, I despise you. Shame, I mock you. Shame, I ignore you. And this is speaking to us here too, as Christians, that we need to look on shame and say, you are not trying. Because Jesus has defeated you 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Hold our chin high and let us celebrate Jesus anywhere, because he was victorious over shame. Used as a weapon by the enemy to bring him down. And yet still, he was victorious. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The next point I'd like to make here is, in this mission to defeat death, he must refuse help. He must refuse help. He was riding into Jerusalem, and he knew that despite the fact that there are crowd multitude behind him and multitude before him, some are well wishers, some are opposing him. He knew that despite all of these people, he will have to face this trial all by himself. And so what we see here, let's read Matthew 26. Let's read Matthew 26. Matthew 26:53. Oh, bless the Lord. Matthew 26, 53. What it says here. Listen to this, church. Listen to what Jesus has to experience here. I said that he must refuse help in his pursuit to defeat death. He must refuse help. Matthew 26, 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently, watch that word, presently, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then, as he went on to say, but how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, are ye come out against a thief with sword and staff for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What a passage of scripture to our ears. He must refuse help as he pursue to defeat death on behalf of you and me. Nobody from the crowd, no one around was supposed to help him. The word said, all his disciples forsook him and fled in his moments of trial. There was none to help Jesus. He was standing alone. All his disciples, his close companions, all of them ran away, leaving him standing to face the difficulty alone. And then Jesus said something that is so vital. Jesus turned to them and said, think ye, I could pray to my Father. I could pray to my Father, and he would have sent 12 legions of angels. And in fact, the word said, presently, he could, just right now, when I need them, the Father would immediately send 12 legions of angels to set me free. When I look and see how much is a legion, I discover that a legion is 12,000. And 12 sixes is 72. 72. Jesus is saying to the crowd, right now, I could pray to the Father, and the Father would have sent me 72,000 angels to set me free. But no, that is not the purpose for which I came. I must fight this battle alone. Church, let us see the danger that 72,000 people could have done. Angel could have done. Oh Lord. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 36. Listen to what it says. Then the angel of the Lord went forth. The angel. Listen to this. The angel won. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 104,500. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all carcass. What is this saying to us? What is this? One single angel in battle. One single angel in battle. Kill 185,000 enemy in one night. One angel. Jesus said, I could have called 72,000 angels to destroy all of my enemies around me. If one angel was able to destroy 185,000, imagine what 72,000 angels could do. Jesus said, no. I must fight this alone. I must not ask for help. I must defeat the enemy alone. As he rode into Jerusalem, knowing how much he's going to suffer, knowing he is going to be killed, and he would have to face all of this all by himself. I could have called for help if I wanted, but no, I'm going to face this all by myself. And then the final point is, the final point, it's a mission to release the captive. It's a mission to release the captive. In order for Jesus to bring out the captive on his mission, because this is the reason why he went into Jerusalem. This is the reason why he rode into Jerusalem, as was prophesied by Zechariah. And he himself forewarned his disciples, is that he might bring out the captives. But in order for this to be done, he has to enter into the belly of the beast. Jesus had to enter into the belly of the beast in order to pull out the captive. And brothers and sisters, when we look and when we see what happened here, we seem to discover that the amount of work that Jesus did during his 3 years, these 3 days seem to prove to be more extensive than those 3 years. As he entered into the domain of the dragon through death. Somebody described it as a working vacation. As he entered into the realm of death to bring out the captive. Peter told us that he went and he preached to the spirit in prison during this time. He went and he challenged the courses of darkness, the principalities and the powers. He went into the hierarchy of the enemy. And he bring out the captive that were there trapped in prison. I want to say to all of us here that there are many of us who are in prison in different ways. Some of us are in the prison of drugs. The Lord Jesus has the ability to deliver you. Some of us are in the prison of sexual immorality. The Lord Jesus has the ability to deliver you. Some of us are in the prison of philosophy, different thoughts contrary to Christianity. Jesus has the ability to deliver you. He took on death. He challenged death. He went into the heart of death to deliver the captives. And I remember even my own self, who was locked up in the prison of tobacco. I could not exist, so to speak, without consuming tobacco every day. That night when I gave my heart to the Lord, at that altar, the Lord took away the crave of it for me. The Lord delivered me. Many of us are in that position. But I want to say, the Lord has defeated death so that you and I might be released from whatever prison we are locked up in. Hallelujah to Jesus. As he rode into Jerusalem, knowing that he must suffer, that he is going to be killed, but the third day he's going to raise again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see where, as far the scripture tells us, that Jesus, the same day in which he was raised from the dead, he brought out many with him, and those that he brought out with him from the grave appeared in Jerusalem. He led captivity captive. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus, hallelujah, went into the belly of the beast to destroy him that had the power of death, so that you and I can live. He starts with Palm Sunday.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know to what extent you are here today and you are struggling with something. You are struggling with some form of addiction. I want to tell you that Jesus defeated death and released many that were trapped in prison. And he can release you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just imagine when he confronts principalities and powers and said, you have nothing in me. I come to destroy you who have the power of death. And they are to fall down before him. They are to fall down before the master who have overcome shame. And he did not ask for help, but he went into the belly of the beast and he brings out Hallelujah! Those that were held in bondage. The psalmist tells us, my soul as a slave, as a bird, out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken. Jesus broke it. And we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And so we see in Jesus introducing himself to John in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Where Jesus introduced himself to John and said, look, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And Jesus did not stop there. There are something extraordinary, important that he followed and said to John. And I of the keys, the keys of death and Hades. Not only that I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, but I have the keys of hell. And I'm glad to know that Jesus described it as the keys and not the key. The keys. Whatever prison you are trapped into, Jesus has a key to open it. To let you out. To let me out. To let anyone out. Many people who I heard said that they would like to follow Jesus, but they are afraid that they might turn back. I want to tell you that Jesus has a key that will open the door and set you free. The bondage of sin, the bondage that hold you for such a long time, Jesus has a key that will set you free. Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you this morning, this afternoon, that I read just today the headline where it says that there seems to be a decline. There seems to be a decline in church services. And to read that on a day like this, in my opinion, is not a good news. But I'm glad to know that Jesus has defeated death. And these are some of the things that the enemy practice. The enemy practice to promote thoughts and ideas which is contrary to the truth, so as to get you down and to get me down. But hallelujah, we have a champion in our midst, and his name is Jesus. He has defeated principalities and powers, and he has made a show of them openly. So I'm saying to all of us here that you might be ashamed of Jesus. And Jesus make it clear to all of us that shame can be used as a weapon.
Yes.
To block you from entering to his kingdom. To be ashamed of him and his word can be something that the enemy will use but he who overcomes shame, that he might release you. I'm saying to you this day here, be victorious in overcoming shame, because Jesus did. Stand up for Jesus on a day like this, as he entered into Jerusalem, square his shoulder, despite what might come afterwards. He was prepared to face Calvary. I'm encouraged to say, prepare to face all the different challenges that might stand in our way as Christians. And let us serve Jesus. Let us worship Jesus, regardless of the shame the enemy brings. This might be a challenge to somebody here today. Somebody here might be challenged. Somebody here might be in a place where you are identifying yourself with being in the prison of something, whether it is drugs, whether it is addiction, whether it is emotion, whether regardless of what type of the prison of the crave for money or fame, somebody might be in that prison. Jesus has a key to let you out. And he has already overcome shame, if shame is one of the prisons that the enemy have you into. Jesus has the key to let you out. Today being Palm Sunday, it speaks to the fact that Jesus knew he was going into Jerusalem to suffer and to be killed for the purpose of setting you free and me free. How do you respond to him? How do you respond? This is a challenge to you. You have been thinking about it for a while. Should I give my heart to Jesus? Should I give my heart to Jesus? I've just explained to you the challenge Jesus had and what he went through for you and me. Can I hear somebody say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. That the bondage of tobacco will be broken. The bondage of sexual immorality will be broken. The bondage that confronts me for many years, regardless of what type of bondage that is, there are many, will be broken by the key that Jesus has. Pray for me that a change will come in my life. Is there somebody who is willing to break the chain of shame to identify with Jesus? Is there somebody? Pray for me, Pastor, that there will be a change. John told us that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But Jesus declared that I have overcome the world. The fact that Jesus overcome, he wants you and I too to overcome it. But we have to make a decision of ourselves. Do I want to side with Jesus at this time? One more time, can I hear somebody say, pray for me that I will overcome this challenge that I have, that I might live for Jesus. Father, we bless your name. And we worship you. We thank you that you have not only taught the talk, but you have walked the walk. You went to Calvary and you died, identifying yourself with death, that through death you might bring forth life. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you have gone through all the courses that was necessary to bring out a soul from darkness into life. I thank you that I am one of them. I thank you that so many on these telephone lines can identify with the relief and the release and the deliverance that you brought. But Lord, I still believe that there are many who have yet to enter into this area. I pray for them right now. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will visit them and to refresh them as to what you have been through so as to make salvation possible. God, I worship you. And I look forward, Lord God, that there will be testimony of this word touching somebody's life and a change was made. Thank you, Jesus, for what we are celebrating, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You are doing it for the last time, to die on a cruel cross to save humanity. We bless your name and we look forward, Lord, to continue to have sweet fellowship with you as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name.